who I'm sure have had this thought in their mind that, oh boy, I can't walk in there, the place will fall down. It's still standing. Praise God. I'm blessed to have friends here, family here. And I want to pour my heart out. I really do. Because I want people to know and to understand Jesus Christ the way that I've come to know Him, believe in Him, and trust in Him. And so somehow I want to wrap up, you know, 33 years of serving the Lord, put it in one message so that you could get it all. But that's not possible. Lunch would be burned if I did that. Of course, it could be anyway. I don't know. But again, I appreciate you all coming out. Some of you might be here because I told you there'd be bacon. Yeah, is anybody? Huh? There is brunch after the service. My thanks go out to the Wolf family for organizing and setting up the tables and preparing all the things, and for everyone who has prepared something for lunch or brunch this afternoon. I appreciate it very much. But I welcome each and every one of you. Please don't leave this place hungry. My hope is that you will be filled spiritually and that you will be filled physically before the day's out. And again, there is bacon, so don't run out the door. But I'm going to ask that you be, first time through, take it easy on the bacon. I'm not sure how much there is. I did get word yesterday that somebody was going to bring a metal fork to fight off anybody, so going after the bacon. So just be alert, get in line early, and we'll enjoy that together. I want to talk to you this morning, and if there's nothing that you get from anything I say this morning, remember what that says right there. Because I can't wrap up 33 years of following the Lord and studying the Bible and serving God. I can't wrap it all up into one message and give you all the principles and all the points and all the reasons why we should follow Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this, that God is speaking. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence in this place as we were worshiping you. But God, I pray right now that you will speak to our hearts and that you will change our lives. Each and every one of us, God. We need your love. We need your peace. We need hope that comes from you. We need direction in our lives. And so, Lord, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God is speaking. You know, that is something that many people struggle with, this idea that God speaks. Time and time again, I hear people say, well, God isn't talking to me. I recently heard somebody say, well, God doesn't answer me. Aren't we supposed to answer God? Isn't that how it should go? But God does speak to us. God speaks each and every day. I personally believe, and you've heard me say this before, that I believe that God speaks to every living soul every single day. And not only the ones outside the womb, I believe He speaks to the ones inside the womb too. There's biblical evidence of that. God speaks, and He's speaking to me, and He's speaking to you. And we may not recognize it. Before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I didn't recognize it. After I started following the Lord, and I started praying, I started talking to God, I started listening to God, I started to understand what His voice sounds like. I remember years ago, there used to be a musician called Mylon Lefebvre. Anybody remember Mylon Lefebvre? Rhonda might. Oh, you remember Mylon? You went to a Mylon concert? Oh, wow. It wasn't the one where David Wilkerson went running down the aisles yelling Ichabod, was it? Oh, no. Mylon Lefebvre said this. I have it on a tape somewhere, an old cassette tape. He said, you know, if I was to call you in on the phone and you didn't know me, you never heard my voice before, if I was to call you, you would say, hey, who's this? Because you don't recognize my voice. But if I called you time and time again and I became friends with you, sooner or later, just the sound of my voice, you would recognize, hey, that's Dale. It's like that with God. If you will have a conversation with him frequently and often, you will get to know his voice and you will recognize his voice in your life. God speaks. After I started talking to God and having conversation with God, I got to know his voice, and then I realized, oh my gosh, he's been talking to me my whole life. When I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, it was his voice that would say, don't do that. And I was doing something that was pleasing to him, his voice would encourage me on the inside. It was his voice all along. It's his voice today. He's speaking to you. And so the first point, I want you to get this. God speaks. He spoke in creation. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light. And if you read the book of Genesis, you realize that creation was spoken into existence. Why? Because God speaks. You know, we like to make fun of, you know, the idea that women have, you know, they speak like 80,000 words a day and men speak like 20,000 words a day. But there's a whole lot of talking going on, but I'm pretty sure that God out-talks all of us. You know, right now, my voice is being heard. I'm the one speaking, unless you're chatting with somebody next to you or something like that. But I'm not the only one in the room talking. Because God is speaking too. So he spoke at creation. He talked to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3 verse 8 says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard his voice, which means what? God speaks. He spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. It says that God said to him. Why? Because God speaks. God spoke to Moses in Exodus 33:11. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. How many of us wish that would take place today? Oh, man, if I could just talk to him face to face. One day we will. Until that day, we need to learn how to hear his voice. Sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's a shout. But he speaks. I hope I hear him whisper often. You're doing good. Keep moving. Keep going. Instead of hearing his voice saying, shouting, don't do that. Stop doing that. You're going the wrong way. His voice is for all of us. He spoke to Paul Saul in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, when Saul was on his way to persecute Christians. God spoke to, you know, this is amazing. This should give you hope for anybody. Here Saul is, he's out there, you know, killing believers in Jesus Christ. And God spoke to him too. Saul fell to the earth and he heard God's voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And do we, you know, it doesn't matter who you are and what direction you're running, whether you're off headed in the wrong direction, going to do the wrong things, God will speak to you. And sometimes, it's just that question right there, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do we do what we do? Because we don't know that God speaks. I want to bring this in a little closer. I want you to know that God is talking to you. God is talking to you. What is he saying? What is God saying to you personally? Chances are, what he's speaking to you is very personal, very deep. For some, it may be words of encouragement. For some, it may be words of hope. For some, it may be just words of his love for you. For some, maybe he's giving direction. For some, maybe he's rebuking. Whatever the case may be, but God is speaking to you. Are you listening? Isn't it interesting if we were driving down the road and we see a police officer standing on the side of the road and he lifts up his hand and he says, stop, that we would stop? Most of us would anyway. I hope you would. And so we would obey the voice of a man, a perfect stranger that we don't even know perhaps. You know, if you go to, let's say you go to the state fair or some concert or some place and you don't know where your seat is and you go ask somebody and somebody, some perfect stranger gives you direction and you listen to them and you follow them. How many times have we got lost, men, driving around and we pull up? Well, we don't do that. Women, how many? We don't ask for directions. Women, how many times have you pulled up someplace and asked somebody for directions and you just trusted them? Is that you? Why is it that we don't hear God's voice giving us direction? Why is it that we don't hear God's voice telling us when to stop and when to go and where to go and how to get there? You see, God is talking to you and he's talking to me. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, what is God saying to you? To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That sounds pretty good. I like that. The Spirit of God speaks to us, and he says to us, to him who overcomes, you get to eat of the tree of life. Do you know why Adam and Eve was thrown out of the garden? Because if they stayed in the garden, they might eat of the tree of life. And then the whole rule of, you know, God's plan would have been altered somehow. But God wants us to eat from the tree of life. He wants us to live eternally. That's his promise. God sent his son so that we would have what? We would have eternal life. Do we have ears that hear? You know, there's something funny about the human anatomy. When we think of ears, we think of the things on the sides of our head. And we don't realize that we need to have spiritual ears too. And you know where they are? They're in your heart. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. This is a verse that I believe, I love this verse. I'm telling you, I preached a whole series on this verse. I'm going to touch on it again today. I believe this verse holds the key for all Christianity, for all people. When Jesus started his ministry, he went out and he said to the disciples, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You are a part of this verse, whether you know it or not. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not following the Lord, the follow me part is talking to you. To the unbeliever, he says, follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I know what the Lord is speaking to you. If you aren't following Jesus Christ, if you are not a believer in the Lord, if you haven't put your faith and trust in him, what he is speaking to you today is follow me. That's it. Pretty simple. Follow me. I sang a song a few moments ago. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The reason why I'm following Jesus Christ is because I sought him and I found him. And I started following him. So that part of the verse, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That is for the person who is yet to start their journey with Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to hear that voice. I prayed a prayer at the beginning of the service. I pray it often at the beginning of each service. Lord, speak to my heart and change my life. To all unbelievers in this place this morning, what he is speaking to your heart is follow me, and I'll guarantee you that will change your life. If you are a new believer, the part of that verse that is talking to you this morning, that God is speaking to you this morning, is I will make you. Follow me, I will make you. Fishers of men. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once you start following him, it's time to get busy and learn who he is. Read your Bibles. It says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is for you. I will make you, Jesus says. You start following me, and you start reading your Bible, and you start praying, and you start fellowshipping with other believers, and guess what? You're going to become somebody who has knowledge and wisdom in the Lord. You will grow in God. He says, I will make you. I love that part where he says, I will make you. He does the work. All you do is just follow him, and he will do the work in you. I'm able to stand before you this morning and speak and sing and do all these things for Jesus because he did something in me, not because I'm anybody. Trust me, there are people here that know I am not anybody. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like everybody else. But because I chose to follow him and I chose to take him at his word and grow in the grace and the knowledge of him and to study in order to be approved by him, that's the only reason I can do these things, is because he changed my life. He gave me the ability to walk away from things in my life that were destroying me. Without him, I couldn't have done it. I tried. You see, God is speaking to each and every one of us. If you are a mature believer in the Lord, the part of that verse I mentioned earlier is fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. What's that mean? Well, in Mark 16, 15, it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you are a mature believer, if you are somebody who started following Jesus, you heard his voice and you started following him, and then you heard his voice and you grew in the grace and the knowledge and wisdom of him, and you studied, and now you're somebody who knows what you know, then the next step for you as a mature believer is hear God's voice saying, okay, now go out and preach to the lost. You see, God is speaking to everybody in this place. If you've yet to follow him, hear his voice say, follow me. If you have yet to know, learn anything about him, he's speaking to you saying, grow in me. And if you are one who has followed and grown, he's speaking to you, get out there and tell somebody about it. And God will use you in powerful ways if you will listen to what he's saying to your heart. Sometimes I'm still amazed at what God does, why he uses me. People call me. That man I sat with here a few moments ago this morning, he came to talk to me. Why did he come to talk to me? God is doing something powerful. It's beyond who I am. And if I want God to keep doing stuff, I need to keep listening. I want to encourage you, keep listening. Because he wants to do powerful things in you too. There are people sitting here this morning for no other reason than the fact that God has shown them, hey, there's somebody who's listening to God. And God wants each and every one of you to be somebody who listens to God. Why? Because he's speaking to you. How does God speak? How do we hear his voice? Because he doesn't, like Moses, come down here and stand before us and talk to us face to face. There's a reason why it says you're saved by faith. You got to apply some faith. You got to believe in something you can't see. Trust in someone that hopefully you can feel. But it's not something you feel with your fingers. It's something you feel on the inside. A voice that's heard on the inside. When God speaks to us, his voice is in your heart. Now, I have to caution you because the Bible does tell us that our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know? And if you do a little Bible study on your heart, you'll find out there's more verses on the heart about how evil it is than there is anything else. Maybe that's the reason why when God speaks to us, he goes right to the heart. Because it's from the heart that stuff comes out. You are who you are because of what's going on in your heart. You know, we've all heard the phrase, oh, accept Jesus into your heart. You know that's not in the Bible. Did you know that? Some people are like, really? Yeah, really. Look it up. Show me in the Bible where it says that you need to accept Jesus into your heart. It's not in there. But there are a lot of verses in there that talks about God dwelling in your heart. Talks about from the heart. The treasures of the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What are you treasuring? Are you treasuring the things of the world? Are you treasuring Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Whatever you're treasuring, that's what's in your heart. If you treasure Jesus Christ, you will listen to his voice and you will obey it and you will do what he says and you will love God and you will love your neighbor. And you do all kinds of things that he will lead you and direct you and guide you, help you. If you treasure him, you will worship him. You know, I've made a habit every day. And God's been reminding me, not because we get busy. Even as a pastor, trust me, I get busy. Every day I bow my knee to God. Every day. If all it is a moment. The other day I was putting the plow on the front of my truck. And I realized, you know what? I haven't bowed my knee to God yet. I was outside my driveway. And I got on my knee. And I just bowed my knee to God. Why? Because he's God. And I want him to know that I worship him. I want him to know that I trust him. I want him to know that I hear his voice and I'm listening. But he speaks. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57 through 58. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him. Why do I bow my knee to God every day? Because my heart is inclined to him. To walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. Are you listening? Do you hear his voice as he's speaking to you? If you hear his voice at all, or if you don't hear his voice, especially if you don't hear his voice, incline your heart to God. As I prayed, Lord, speak to our hearts, change our lives. You incline your heart to God. Things change. This is how it is. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 27. A new heart, a new heart. Also, I will give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You incline your heart to God, and what's he do? I will give you a new one. A new one. Before I knew Jesus, yes, my heart was deceitfully wicked, and I didn't even know it myself. But God did. And now that I have inclined my heart to God, he gave me a new one. Ooh, hallelujah. And that's where he speaks to me. No, he gave me a new one. The question was, did he mend the one you had? No, the one I had was, I didn't want that one. God gave me a new one, it said. And he put a new spirit in me. Let me show you a couple more. Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Do you know that God speaks to you through your hearts? His law is in your heart. He put it in there. How do you know that what things are right and what things are wrong? Because God's law is already in your heart. Every time we were down by the railroad tracks, brother, drinking them beers, and I heard his voice say, don't do that. Why? Because his law was in my heart. I didn't know it was him speaking back then. But you know, God is so awesome. He somewhere in each and every living soul's life, I believe he gives us a revelation that, hey, you know what? I need to start listening, and I need to find out who this God is. He draws us. The Bible says that if we lift up Jesus Christ, he will draw all men. And so that's why you mature believers, or even you first followers, whatever the case may be, you lift up Jesus Christ, and what's he do? He draws all men to him. How does he do that? He speaks to the heart. And so the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. David said in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. David knew when he knew he was in trouble. Why? Because God speaks to the heart. And he said, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Is there anybody today that needs a right spirit? Maybe we've had a little bit of the wrong spirit, but we need a right spirit to be put in us. Maybe our hearts have gone a little bit astray. Lord, give us clean hearts. I almost sang a song this morning. Maybe I will when I close. Yeah, maybe I will. Where is it? I'll find it in a moment. Somewhere. Matthew 5:8. We talk about this verse quite often in Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday nights. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God is speaking to you, and he's speaking to your heart. What is he saying this morning to you personally? He wants you to know him. Even if you're a mature believer, he wants you to know him more. As I mentioned, I've been following him for 33 years, and there's still more. My love for him just keeps growing. Love grows, you know that? How many of y'all are married and happily married? I ask this question because I am happily married. And I have an experience that my love for my wife continues to grow. It's very interesting. You know, you think when you fall in love with somebody and you get married, it's like, woo, this is awesome, this is wonderful, and this is about as far as it goes. No, it goes farther. It grows and grows and grows. I told her yesterday, I saw her yesterday morning in her bathrobe, and she just got out of the shower, and her hair's all, like, all over, no makeup on, and she said, I look like a drowned rat. And later in the day, I saw her with her hair all done and her makeup on, and I said to her, I said, you know what, it doesn't matter to me whether your hair's all over the place and there's no makeup or whether you're all done up. You are very beautiful to me. And it just keeps getting better. Well, you know what? Our love for Jesus Christ is like that. That's the only reason I mentioned that, because I wanted to help you understand. You fall in love with Jesus Christ and it just keeps getting better and it keeps getting better and better. Why? Because he keeps speaking to your heart. And he keeps giving you life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Are we almost close, Karen? Are we good? No, not even close at all? Well, we're going to have an altar call then today. Somebody disappeared? Oh, need to make some eggs. All right. I can do that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and this is where a lot of people believe, you know, it doesn't say heart in this verse, but it's pretty much understood and believed. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Stands at what door? What is the door that Jesus is standing at? Your heart. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he says, if it says, any man hear my voice. If you hear him speaking to you in the heart, he will come in. You open the door, he comes in. Let him in. Hear his voice. And when he comes in, he will dine with you. He'll hang out. He'll have a conversation. As I was looking up verses for this, I didn't write it down, but I came across the passage where the two disciples are on the road to the road to Emmaus. And they're walking, all of a sudden there's Jesus, and he's talking to them and having this conversation with them. And one says to the other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us? Is your heart burning within you today because you hear his voice? I hope so. But you know what? They didn't recognize him when he was talking to them. It wasn't until after he left that they said that. And that's why I'm here to tell you this morning. If you get nothing else out of today, I want you to know that God is speaking to you. And I want you to never forget it. I like to haunt people. What do you mean, Pastor? There are some things that I will say that I pray to God, Lord, I don't care where they find themselves. I don't care what they're doing. I pray that when they're in the midst of something where they shouldn't be, that they remember this. And so I try to haunt people. There was a young lady I spoke to at the prison, at the jail one day. I don't know. 17-year-old girl. I asked her, what are you going to do when you get out of here? Well, I'm going back to New York City to be with the gangs. I'm like, are you kidding me? And all the girls in the room were shocked. I mean, there's a group of them. And I said to some of the other girls, I said, can you talk to this young lady? Because she has no idea what she's getting herself into. She said, oh, no, they love me. 17 years old, hasn't got a clue. I said, I'm going to tell you something. And I hope to God that you never forget this. And I hope to God that when they start to abuse you, because that's what they're going to do. When they start to abuse you and when they start to use you and it starts getting dark and you don't understand it, I pray to God that you remember these words. And I told her, I said, Jesus loves you and he's got a better life for you. And if you would turn your heart to him and follow him, he'll take you out of that. And I pray to God that in that moment you remember and you hear his voice and you answer the call. And so I hope that this message haunts you. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a non-believer or if you're a mature Christian. I hope that this message haunts you. That every day you wake up and you listen for his voice. And you remember, oh, you know what? God is speaking to me. And the words that he has for you are so deep and so loving and so true and so powerful. Your life will never be the same. Do you hear him? And I know there are people here that when I ask that question, do you hear him? You might say, there are probably people here that say, I don't think I hear him. Yes, you do. You know, again, I've asked this question time and time and time again. I encourage people, you know his voice. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't know his voice. Yes, you do. It's that voice that speaks to you in the dark times. It's that voice that speaks to you in the good times. It's that voice that lets you know, hey, you shouldn't do that. Or that voice that lets you know, good job. You know his voice. You just didn't realize it was him. Repeat after me. God speaks to me. I don't care where you find yourself, if it's tomorrow, if it's 10 years from now. If you need that message, I hope it comes back loud and clear. Whoa, God speaks to me. Why does he do that? Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And if you will listen to his voice and you will respond, he'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new spirit. He would take you places you never thought you'd go. Before I got saved, I waited. Pastor Heslop was preaching about there was missionaries going to India a few months before I got saved, and I was close. I'm like, you know, I'm starting to believe this stuff. I think I might accept this whole Jesus thing. Until I heard him say, yeah, missionaries, they go to India, and they do this, and they do that. And I was like, wait a minute. Because I heard in my heart, God said that if I get saved, I was going to India as a missionary. And at that time in my life, I was like, no, I am not. I don't want to know anything about India. It was a scary thing for me. And I hesitated. It's only by the grace of God that I'm saved, because I was supposed to get saved. And I said, you know what? I am not doing that, because if I get saved, I'm going to have to go to India. I knew it. He spoke it in my heart. I didn't know it at the time that that's what was going on, but later in life I realized, oh my gosh, God speaks to me. And I finally gave in, and I got saved. I went to the altar, and Jim Reed shared scriptures with me. I think he took me down the Romans Road, to be honest with you. Romans Road to Salvation. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we'd be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Believe where? In your heart. Why? Because God's speaking to you. And I went to the altar and I got saved. And guess what? 10 years later, I spent 2 weeks in India. Loved every minute of it. What's God saying, church? What's God saying to you? He's speaking. If you've yet to start following him, he's saying, follow me. If you are following him, he's working on your heart, speaking to your heart, helping you grow. If you've been following him for a long time, his words to you are, preach the gospel. And that's how some of us respond. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I don't know where we're at in the lunch process yet, but I mean, I could keep entertaining you if you want. But let's sing a song as we close. I want to encourage you, if you want to hear his voice a little clearer, come right up here and ask him, God, I want to hear your voice clearer. If you've been running and you've been resisting and you know you've heard his voice, and I'm going to ask you to come right up here and say, God, I hear your voice and I'm responding to you. At whatever level of faith you are, I want you to know that God is speaking to you right now. And I want to encourage you to respond. I'm going to sing this song. If anybody wants to come up and respond, please do. Then we'll close in prayer and we'll have lunch here in a few minutes. I hope again that you all stay and join us in that. Stand with me if you will.